I want to talk about angels for a little while. And if I were doing this in a theology class, I would be talking to you about angelology. Angelology, how do you like that for a word? In the accounts of the incarnation in the Bible, there are a number of occasions where angels appear. We're not going to take our Bibles and read these accounts this morning. You already know them, but I will refer to them. In Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 20, you have the angel Gabriel, who's appearing to Zacharias, you'll remember. And what he was going to do is to reveal to Zacharias that his wife, Elizabeth, and I should emphasize, because he said, well, she's too old, so his old wife, okay, and he's old too, they were going to have a child. And their son would be the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. Well, Gabriel presented that message. It was a joyful message. Zacharias had a problem with it, didn't he? And as a result, he lost the ability to speak and communicate for a little while until John the Baptist was born. Interesting, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph, revealing to him that it's all right, that he should go ahead and take Mary to be his wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This was the same angel that came to Joseph and told him what the name of the baby would be. So they didn't have any options as to what they were going to name this child. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13, you know the account there. The angel comes to Joseph again and he says, take Joseph. And by the way, emphasis here, says, take Joseph and his mother. He didn't say, take your wife and child. He said, take the baby Jesus and his mother and go down to Egypt until a specified time. In verse 19, the angel revealed to Joseph at another time when it was safe then to return back to Israel, and he then went up to Nazareth. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, the angel Gabriel again appears to Mary in Nazareth, and the angel revealed to her that she was highly favored among women and that she would be the mother of Jesus. Now, it is incredible to imagine this, but think about it for a moment. Millions and billions of angels that are all around us, and we can't see any of them. We don't even know they're there. We don't think about it, do we? They are invisible, supernatural. They are an army of angels organized into differing ranks and classifications. And one of our greatest problems today is this tendency not to believe, and the reason is because we can't see. And so we say, well, I'm not going to buy that which I can't see, hear, or touch, or smell, so I can't buy that. And there are a lot of people like that. Now, I have with me today my radio. Brother Gary might appreciate this because it has all kinds of frequencies on here, and I can listen all over the world on this radio. But it's kind of interesting because, oops, that's what you get, see?
Edition from NPR News. Merry Christmas. I'm Audie Cornish.
There we are. Merry Christmas, everyone. Now, you say, what is the point of all that? I don't know how many stations this will get. There are a lot of bands on here, and I've listened to England in various places on this because it has all kinds of those different bands on it. But what's interesting, and what I want you to realize, is that when I turn this little dial right here, I can go to all kinds of stations, a number of them locally, and a number of stations from all over the world. Now, why in the world can I do this? It is very, very important for us to understand that in this room right now, there are all kinds of radio wavelengths that are going through this room all of the time. And they change and they vary. I used to have a radio in my house. It was called Sideband. And I used to talk to people in England and France and some different countries through Sideband. And it's amazing. Why could you do that? Because there were these waves going through the air. If we had a television here this morning, we could turn that television on and go to all kinds of different channels, and we would see all kinds of different things, just like you do in your home. You say, why? Because of electromagnetic waves that are in the air going all of the time. Can you see them? Can't see them, can you? It's interesting, but they're inventing all of the time new things that use electromagnetic waves. How many of you have a microwave in your house? See, you use that all the time. You couldn't use it except for the fact that these electromagnetic waves are all around us all of the time. I would even think that there's all kinds of electromagnetic waves that haven't even been discovered yet. And if the Lord tarries his coming long enough, I would be willing to think that there are going to be many, many more inventions that will come along the way that we will be able to use. How many of you have here, what do we have? Oh, something else that uses those kind of waves. How many of you have one of these on your person today? It's kind of funny. It's strange. It's amazing how many places I can go in this world and still hear this thing go ding, 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 and have it go off and answer it. And somebody's on the other end of the line. Say, how did that happen? There's no wires here. Because they are these waves going through the air that you and I cannot see. Kind of embarrassing, but I stood up to read scripture in church one morning and I had forgotten to turn my cell phone off. And it rang right at the time I was reading scripture. And this is while we were in Washington, and it was one of our Iraqi friends that were living back in the Detroit area. And they forgot that there's a 3-hour difference between us and them. And they're calling me while I'm at church. I thought that was kind of interesting. All right. In relationship to all of these waves, how many believe what I just told you? We all take these things for granted, don't we? We don't say, well, I think we should discuss this. Maybe this should be debated. We don't have to do that. Say, how do you know? Because we can just turn the dial on and we can all hear for ourselves that those waves got to us. It is like there is another world all around us that we cannot see. We cannot see those wavelengths, but we accept the fact that they are there. We accept and work with many things that we cannot clearly understand. And in the same way, we cannot see the wind, but we know that it's there. If God's word states that angels are active and that they are actual beings doing his bidding, then as Christians, by faith, what do? We say, I believe. And we praise him and we rejoice in this marvelous demonstration that we cannot see. Now, our failure to comprehend them should never hinder our appreciation for the benefits that they perform on our behalf. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for angel is malach. They have a little guttural sound there. How do you like that? Malach. Well, let me see. The Malach came to the shepherds and they said, that doesn't sound very good. We like our word angel better, don't we? But Malach just literally means an agent or a messenger. In the Old Testament, they were specific messengers for God. In the New Testament, we have what's called a transliteration. Now, the word is not a transliteration, but it is from the perspective that we take our English word from the Greek word. In the Greek, it is angelos. Say, so that sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Angelos is angel. So what does it mean? Interestingly enough, it means the same thing as the Old Testament word. It means messenger. Now, I have to be honest with you. I don't know of any census that was ever taken, but in the various accounts of the Bible where angels are mentioned, as we know, their numbers are immense. And God's word does not tell us how many. But we know from reading the Bible that there are companies of them, there are regiments of them, there are armies of them, there are mountaintops that are haloed by them, there are skies that are populous with them. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11, the Apostle John speaks of the number of angels around the throne as 10,000 times 10,000, or 100 million angels. I can't even fathom that. I can't imagine that myself. David wrote of 20,000 of them rolling down the sky in chariots. At Mount Sinai, God had the companionship of 10,000 angels. In every battle in Scripture, and every battle even today, angels are always present. Angels are present at every birth. Angels are present at every pillow. Think about that for a moment. At every hour, at every moment, the earth is full of them. The heavens are filled with them. They outnumber the human race in the world and the ransomed spirits, even those that are in glory. Remember the account in Matthew chapter 18 when Jesus called out a little child and he took the little child unto him? In Matthew 18 and verse 10, listen to Christ's words. He said, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones." And then he says, "For I say unto you that in heaven their angels," T-H-E-I-R, their, plural, "angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Plural. If one child has more than one angel, say, what do we deduce from that? Well, number one, I want you to notice here that angels are spoken of in connection with individuals. You and I, little children. But notice, secondly, that Jesus spoke of them in the plural. That means that at least two angels for every one of us here this morning, and maybe some of you have a few more than two. That would be nice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. There's 38 of them here this morning in this room right now of the good angels. And there may be a whole lot more than that of the good angels, but I'm going to guarantee you something else. If there are good angels in this room, there are bad angels here right now too. So even with us this morning, this room may be full of angels. Now the question, do you believe what I just told you? You're going to say, as Christians, well, of course we do. Well, just like the radio waves, you can't see them. But we believe it. You say, why do we believe it? Because God's word says so. And that is enough. Multiply the number of people that will be in the morning service. And just look around this morning. And I want you to do this every Lord's Day. Look at the number of people that are in this room and think to yourself, I wonder how many angels are here this morning. I wonder what they're thinking. I wonder what they're doing. Some of you already have entertained this question in your mind. Well, what do they do? Well, the easy way to answer that is to first go back to the Bible itself. What did they do in the Bible? That gives us some of the idea of what they're doing today. We've already noted their activity in the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. After the angel of the Lord gave the message to the shepherds, which we'll be looking at in the morning service, Luke 2:13 reveals that there was a multitude of them. It says, of heavenly host. And what were they doing? They were praising God. I've often wondered, you know, how can we better praise God? Lord, allow your angels to help me better know how to praise you. I can imagine that scene on that particular night. And I don't want to say much about that because we're going to do that in the morning service. Genesis chapter 16 reveals how an angel ministered to Hagar out in the middle of the wilderness. Jacob saw some angels. In fact, he saw a stairway of angels. Do you remember that account? When he tried to sleep, when his head was on a pillow of a rock, you know. And God had something very special that he was going to do in his life. And so what did he do? He sent messengers, angels, to get him ready for what God was going to do in his life. An angel led the hosts of the Israelites out of the Egyptian serfdom. It was an angel that took Lot out of doomed Sodom. It was an angel that shut the mouths of the hungry lions when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. It was an angel that fed Elijah underneath the juniper tree. It was an angel that strengthened Jesus in his agony on a number of occasions. Psalm 91, 11 through 12, reveals that angels protect us. Nehemiah 9, 6 talks of angels again, praising God. Luke 1, 11 through 16, angels prophesy. I've often thought, how in the world did they do that? Luke chapter 2, 9 through 13, they proclaim as they were doing to the shepherds on that night. It was an angel that encouraged the Apostle Paul in the Mediterranean shipwreck, you remember. It was an angel that stirred the waters in the pool of Siloam, where the sick were then healed. The Apostle John saw an angel flying through the midst of heaven and on one with a foot in the sea. I've often thought, whoa, that's some angel. He's in heaven and yet he's got a foot in the sea. It was an angel that opened the book, you remember, and the angel that sounded the trumpet. It was an angel that poured out the vials and saw another angel standing in the sun. It will be an angel with uplifted hand declaring that time shall be no longer. Can you even imagine that? There's coming a time, does that make sense? When there is no time? Time shall be no longer. In Matthew 28, verse 2, an angel came down and rolled away the great stone that sealed the tomb of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 7, four angels at four different places of the earth held back the winds so that they could not blow upon the sea. It was an angel that came and delivered Peter out of prison. In Acts chapter 12, it was an angel that killed Herod. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, it is clear that angels are not limited by space or distance. They can just come and go just like that, from the throne of God to this very room. I can't imagine that. But then again, there's another whole world out there. This is another one of those mysteries that many find difficult to understand. But again, this world does exist, and it is a world without time, a world that one day we're going to know. In the great final harvest of the world, God's word makes it clear that the reapers are angels. The day is coming when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven. How is he going to do that? His word says, by or with his many angels. There will be fleets of them, hosts of them, beyond our wildest imagination. And just think, greatest truth for us this morning. All of them are on our side if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. They minister to God's children. So this gives us a little idea of what they do. Now, how about us today? Well, you looked at this back in Hebrews some time ago, but in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, God's word tells us that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Well, that's you and I. Amen? In Christ. Psalm 148, 2 and verse 5 tells us that they are created beings. God created the angels. Job 38, 6 and 7 reveals that they were created early on the first day of creation. Matthew 22, verse 30 indicates that each angel had a direct creation. God created each of them in the way that he wanted them. They are originally created to minister to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, did you catch this phrase in Hebrews 1:14? Sent forth. Angels are sent forth by God to minister, and the present participle in that verse indicates that their ministry is always continuing. It is going on right now. It is going on in this very room. When I was a child, some of you may remember this, they had cartoons on TV. And every once in a while, there would be this little fella, and on one side of his shoulder would be a little angel with a little halo over his head. What was on this shoulder? A little devil or a demon, always had a tail, always had horns, always had a pitchfork, you know. And here's this person in the middle, and the angel on this side saying, this is a great opportunity for you. And the angel on this side, and by the way, demons are angels. So angel on this side, no, it's not a good idea. You'll get in all kinds of trouble if you do that. Here's what I want you to do. And this angel says, no, if you do that, that trouble will be multiplied. And it goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. That may be more realistic than what most of us think. I'm not saying it is. I don't want all of you to go out of here this morning looking at your shoulders. But God's word says they are ministering spirits. Now, I'll confess, I'm not sure how they do what they do, nor can I perceive how their ministry is to be distinguished from the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. However, my failure to comprehend does not hinder my appreciation for the benefits that they perform on our behalf. We know that in some way, God has assigned them to the care of our souls. In a number of ways, Hebrews 1:14 indicates that they serve forever those who are born again, those who will inherit eternal life. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, then they serve you. Wow, think about that. Angels actually serve me. Their service begins in your life the very instant you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And most of the time, we are not even aware of all of the times God has dispatched special angels to minister to you. How many times have you been protected or delivered or saved from some harm by an angel that came to guard you? You don't know. We do not even recognize how an angel of the Lord may be protecting you right now. Go back to the shoulder here. I wonder how many times when the Word of God is being preached, or if you're at home and you're reading the scripture on your own, I wonder how many times there's an angel on one side of you that says, boy, praise God, this is great, and an angel on the other side that says, you don't really believe that, do you? I wonder how many times we have given thought to something like that. We all recognize from Hebrews 13:5, Christ promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. There is never a time when we should consider ourselves lonely or alone. We not only have the presence of Christ in our lives by his Holy Spirit, but we also have the presence of angels. Go over to Psalm chapter 34 with me for a moment. Psalm chapter 34. Here is a verse every single one of us, we ought to memorize this verse. If you don't have it memorized, make a note of it so that you will memorize it. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Again, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Do you fear him this morning? Here's a precious promise that you have right here in God's word. In some way, the Lord dispatches his angels in such a way to deliver us from certain problems that would affect the unsaved and even satisfy us in verse 8 of that psalm, where he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So while angels are important, they're still only servants of God. Servants that minister on our behalf. They defend us, they cheer us, they rescue us, they escort us, they alert us, they often overthrow that which is wrong in our lives. They are as alert and efficient today as they were in Bible times. And while we may not have been aware of it, there have been times when we were on our way to do something we know we shouldn't do, when angels somehow changed our course. Think about that for a moment and say, wow, I remember such a time like that. Perhaps they arranged for someone to meet us at a certain crisis or cause us to think of our Christian parentage. Something along that line that changed our direction, or perhaps even caused you to lose a ticket to something that you should not have gone to anyway. I see lots of smiles. You say, why? Because we can all identify with that. In some way, God uses angels to reveal to your soul some holy impression, causing you to tarry. To tarry thinking about him, to tarry from not doing that which you ought not do. There are times when the word of God is being read or preached, again, that the angel will touch your soul and he will say to you, this is what God wants to do in your life. This is what God wants you to believe. This is what God wants to be a part of your life, that you might be better used for his glory. And there again, at the same time, now don't believe that preacher. He's just a big old bag of wind. Amen? Yeah? You know what I'm talking about. All of us have known trouble. Most of us have known bereavement, persecution, sickness, financial peril. You were ready to give up, and suddenly there was something to remind you of God's gracious care in your life. And you felt a deep sense of peace, the kind that only God can give you. Peace, his word says, that passeth understanding. You don't know why it happened to come to you that way, but it may very well be that God sent a messenger to remind you that all things work for good to those who belong to the Lord. Amen? Or to remind you that you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. That very well may have been part of the ministry of an angel in your life. There have been people who have been ready to commit suicide. You've heard stories like this. I read one just recently where a man was in his home and he had the gun to his head, and all of a sudden a knock came on the door. And he thought to himself, I'm not going to answer that. But the person kept knocking, and he went to the door, and it was a florist. And who knows why, but for some reason, the florist began to talk to this person about the Lord. I wonder if an angel had moved the florist that way at that exact moment. That man ended up trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he did not pull the trigger. There are all kinds of stories like that. Perhaps there was something that caused him to change his mind suddenly, in the same way that he changes our minds suddenly. Whereas Satan and his demons, they're just fallen angels, they are gathered against us, and they cease not in plotting our destruction. The angels of the Lord are armed with infinite power to uphold us and to keep us from evil, if that is our desire. It's interesting because there are only two angels named in the Bible. One is Michael. He's revealed to us in Daniel chapter 10, verses 13, 21. He's revealed to us in Jude 9 and in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Michael is referred to in the Word of God as the archangel, which would seem to place him first in rank above all of the angels. The other angel mentioned by name, we've already talked about this morning, it is Gabriel. We see him also in Daniel, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 9, and we see him in all of the Christmas accounts. Now, keeping in mind all of the things that we have noted already, we want to note two major responsibilities of angels. Say, what are those? Number one, God's glory. Most important. But then again, if I were to ask you, why were you created? Why are you here? What is God's purpose for your life? And some of you might just quote the Westminster Shorter, what is it? Confession on that? There it is. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It is crucial that we understand that it is in the carrying out of the purposes of God's glory that all living creatures achieve their greatest happiness and success. Angels are concerned about God's glory, and they praise him. What do? When we gather on the Lord's day, we worship him. I wonder if angels help us with genuine worship. Isaiah 43 and verse 7 tells us that we have been created for his glory. The very moment you were saved, the Spirit of God instantaneously indwelt your life in order that you and I might be able to glorify God in our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says that you are bought with a price. Now therefore glorify God in your body. The second responsibility of angels is to enable God's people to carry out God's will. Angels help you and I to carry out God's will in our lives. They are actually engaged in work and for those who are the special object of God's love. Christians, you and I, all who are in Christ. And I mention this again. It is when we carry out the purposes of God for our being created and our salvation that we achieve the greatest happiness and success. I might mention to wrap this up that the angels are highly intelligent beings, but Scripture tells us there's something they don't understand. They cannot understand our redemption. They don't understand our salvation. 1 Peter 1:12 states that they desire to look into our salvation. And here's what's interesting. I have to be honest with you in this area, but I hope you're honest about this as well. Only God can fully understand the wonder of His redemption in our lives. I don't understand it. Why in the world did He choose to save me? I don't know why, but I sure praise Him. And I'm so thankful that the Christ of Christmas is my own Lord and Savior this morning. Our response has to be that of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. And this is it. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And when we think about Christmas, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ in the manger. He's not any longer in the manger, but He is God's unspeakable gift to you and I. Angels were tremendously involved in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, but they are just as intimately involved in our lives today. They are to be treated with high regard, but not above their station. You say, what do you mean? Because there are some cults and isms out there that give special designation for angels, even some groups that worship angels. Colossians 2:18 notes that we're not to worship angels. But if you really worship God, if that is really your desire, they will help you in your worship. They will assist you in being what God wants you to be. And that's basically the ministry of angels. Let's stand for closing prayer. Father, I thank You for Thy word. I thank You that it is true. I pray that we would just literally submit our lives to it. God, that You might be glorified when we adjust our lives to doing Thy will. I thank You for the Christmas account. I thank You for the way You laid it all out. God, it is miraculous. It is supernatural. And I praise You that we have that kind of a God in You. And I pray this morning that this Christmas day will be a special time of rejoicing as we think of Your grace and Your glory. Thank You for giving Your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless in the service to follow now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.